Our subject today, the warning of God to this age. The warning of God to this age. I never saw it before this week, and I dare say you haven't either until I'd share it with you this morning. But God's warning our nation, and God's warning this world. And as God's people, the danger is this, that we've fallen into a lethargy, and we've become kind of satisfied, and we just kind of coast along, and that's what the devil wants us to do. If ever we need to share the things of God, it's at this hour. God's given a warning. And if you're here today without Christ, you're going to have another warning given to you. And the danger you face in this church is this. You can hear it so many times, and you can hear it so much, that you become cushioned to it. Now, our country is cushioned to the wrong things. Our country has been cushioned to violence. Now, it has. We see violence in the newspapers. We see violence on television. We see violence in the news. They're not satisfied until they sensationalize this thing and bring to the people violence. And our people are being cushioned against it. Don't mean anything. Then, our people are also being cushioned in the reality that life is no longer being held in respect. Now, how's that done? Well, 15 million babies have been aborted. You know what America's doing? Cutting its own throat. We older folks are going to have to come along, and a few years from now, our Social Security will be done, because you know what's happening? There's been so many babies that have been aborted that we're losing out on engineers and technologists and everything like that, and we're cutting our own throat. And it's all being led by these humanistic philosophers that are nothing but a bunch of devils, and they're cutting America's throat. And you ought to keep this in mind. It's going to be election. You ask yourself this question. You find out. Can you honestly vote for a man who's going to kill your grandchildren? We need to think on that. I can't. And yet we find America's being cushioned. Cushioned against life. You see, we're becoming a hard, callous generation. And yet God gives us a warning. And the warning is this. Something's going to happen. And we better find out what it is. 1 Samuel chapter 30, look at verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So went he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued 400 men, for 200 men abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, "To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me 3 days ago, because I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." He had brought him down. Behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Our subject today, the warning given by God to this age. Our lesson falls into two categories this morning. First of all, we're going to look at the condition of every sinner before God, pictured here by the Egyptian and by the Amalekites. We are going to look at the coming events upon this earth that are set forth here. I hope you're ready to meet the Lord. If you're not, I hope that you'll get ready. I hope you'll begin to seek Him. Because as I've said before, I'm going to tell you again, you and I don't have much time left. We read this morning that famines and pestilences and wars and so things are going to come upon this earth. And our Lord said, and when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads and look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh, when our redemption is Christ. Now, beloved, this is the worst drought we've had since the 1930s. That's 50 years ago. And I remember those droughts. I remember the big black clouds of dirt that blew over our house, and how that everything was dust, and it turned the western part of the United States into a dust bowl. And the same thing is happening today. Now, 50 years ago, it happened because we began to plow under the wheat and the corn and the pigs. It was just too much. And I'm wondering if God's not going to give a warning again to America. The warning is this: we better start seeking the Lord. And I say this not only to us as people, as His people, but to every sinner. Because if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of you are, I'm going to describe to you this morning your condition before God. You may say, well, preacher, I don't feel that way. Forget your feelings. Face facts. Just because you don't feel like a sinner doesn't mean that you aren't. A lot of people have cancer that don't feel sick. Eventually it comes about. Then we know there's something wrong. And by that time, many times, it's too late. We don't go by feeling. Now, this book is God's absolute final authority. Nothing surpasses it. Nothing eclipses it. Equals it. This is the final word of God to this generation. This is the final word of God to this earth. And this word, the word of God, will stand and abide forever. And our Lord describes for us the condition of every sinner before Him and the reason we need to know Christ. Now let's look at it. What is the condition of every sinner before God? All right, look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Look with me, if you will, down at verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. Underline that word Amalekite. Every sinner without Christ is portrayed by the word Amalekite. Now, what in the world do we mean by the term? All right, take your Bibles. Follow with me, if you will. Genesis chapter 36. Look with me at verse 12. In Genesis chapter 36 and verse 12, you see the beginning of the Amalekites. Listen to it. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. Now, what do you have here? Amalekite is a bastard. Now, they don't use that term anymore because illegitimate children aren't recognized. In other words, there seems to be no shame anymore when an individual gets pregnant without being married. Now, an Amalekite was a bastard. What are you talking about? An Amalekite was born after the flesh, out of sin. Now, will you listen? You and I, every one of us, were born in sin. We came into this world a sinner. David said in Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. A sinner can only produce a sinner. An individual doesn't become a sinner because of what they do. They are born a sinner. We sin because of what we are. And in the heart and life of every individual, I don't care how good they may be, doesn't make any difference what kind their upbringing may be, what kind of environment they live in, that individual has a desperately wicked, sinful heart and sin nature. The reason? We are born as an Amalekite. The second thing about an Amalekite was this. Take your Bibles now and turn to Exodus 17. In Exodus chapter 17, we find the Word of God brings again the second description of an Amalekite. In Exodus chapter 17, and we find in verse 8 and verse 14. Notice this, if you will. In verse 8 we read, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Then in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now what are you talking about? An Amalek was born after the flesh out of sin. The second thing about an Amalekite was this. Every Amalekite was under the anger of God. Will you listen? There's two classes of people in this room this morning. Those that are saved, those that are not converted. If you're not saved here this morning, God's angry with you. He's not your Father. He's your Creator. He's your Lord. He can do with you what He wants to do. He doesn't even have to even give you an opportunity to be converted, but He's giving you this privilege. You are under His anger. Because he that believeth not is condemned already, the Word of God says. Now people may say, I don't feel like I'm under God's anger. No, that's because you're dead in sin. When God opens the heart of a sinner, God shows that sinner that he, the Lord God of heaven, is angry with that sinner personally. And every individual is going to experience that either in this life or in the life to come. And God said to Israel, write this for remembrance, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And we can apply that to today. Every sinner, God's going to blot out the remembrance of every sinner without Christ from under heaven. He's going to put them all in a devil's hell where we all belong. Now this is Amalek. This is the condition of a sinner without Christ. How about you? Do you know the Lord today? If you don't, this is your condition. You're born out of sin, are under the anger of God, but then also, coupled with that, you are opposed to the things of God. Now, some of you teenagers right here today, I see three or four of you, you're half asleep. The only reason you're here is because your mother and dad are making you come. You're not listening, but I'm talking to you. You're going to have to be an example to this church. Is God going to have to put you in hell to wake some of the rest of this people up? Don't think He can't do it. He may. Little girl last night was out there roller skating on the Grand Prix at 10:30, 11-year-old. She got hurt. It's a wonder she wasn't killed. What's she doing out there at 11 years of age at 10:30 at night without mother and dad? You see, people today don't care. Well, if your mother and dad put a curfew on you, it's not because they don't care, it's because they do care. And the reason is this, every teenager, boy or girl, man or woman, every sinner without Christ is under the anger of God, and every sinner without Christ is opposed to the things of God. Like I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, man came by yesterday, or Friday it was, oh, he was upset. He said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I said, don't. He said, you've desecrated the mother of Christ. I said, I haven't done any such thing. I just merely told you the truth. Mary was a sinner. Mary had to be converted. Well, I don't believe that. I said, change it any. And he got awfully upset. I said, what are you mad about? Well, I'm not mad. I said, you are. Listen to you. Everybody around here could hear you. I'm glad there wasn't a crowd. I told him, I said, if we'd been downtown, everybody would have gathered around, thought sure we were going to fight. Well, I said, I told him point blank. I said, you want to hear the truth? You don't have to. Well, I'm not going to come back and talk to you before he left. He said, I'll be back. You see? So, what are you talking about? Well, you have to tell them the truth. Now, when people get angry because you tell them the truth, put it down. You're doing some good. And every sinner here today, I don't care if you're the son of my deacon. I don't care if you're a preacher's daughter. I don't care if your mother and dad are saved. I don't care if you're 6 or 60. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, God has declared you to be like an Amalekite. You're born out of sin. You're under the anger of God. And the third thing about the Amalekite was this. They were opposed to the things of God. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and look with me, if you will, what the Amalekite did. Look at it carefully. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we find very clearly, in verse 14, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Now, what in the world do you have here? Here we see they are opposed to the things of God. Now, what did they do? They made an invasion. Will you listen to me? One of the greatest weaknesses of churches today is the failure to exercise discipline. One of the greatest weaknesses of our churches today is the failure to set forth doctrinal preaching. Now, what are you talking about? The vast majority of our church members today have never been converted. Oh, you say, now, preacher, you got no right to say that. I have every right to say that. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He more real to you than your son or daughter? Or your husband or your wife? If He's not, you haven't been converted. And the thing of it is this. Multitudes of unsaved church members are in our churches today, and you know what they're doing? They're dragging the world into the church. You think it's not difficult to stand? The reputation your pastor has of this community is twofold. Number one, he makes salvation too hard. And number two, that church is so strict, I don't want to go there. Why, they don't believe in going to the show, and they don't believe in dancing, and he don't even believe in VCRs and watching all those movies. He doesn't believe in anything. Anything that appeals to the flesh, they want to drag it in. No, I don't approve of it. Will you listen to me? This rock and roll music they had down here was nothing but uppity-up demonism. And some of you parents, you let your children hear it day in and day out. No wonder they act like the devil. That's all they know. Oh, but you don't know how terrible it'll be if I start curtailing it. Who's the boss? You or them? Want me to tell you? In 95% of our cases, the children rule the parents. Not the parents ruling the children. You know why? Like an Amalekite. You see, they love the things after the flesh. And Amalekite, an invasion. And listen to me. There's an invasion being made upon the church today by the Amalekites under the guise of religious verses and so on and so forth. And they sucker people in. And the vast majority of them don't understand it. Now, the second thing about the Amalekite was this. He was not only born after the flesh out of sin and under the anger of God and opposed to the things of God, but I tell you, the second thing is this. He abuses the privileges of God that are given so freely. Let me tell you something. Some of you Amalekites right here, you're abusing the privileges God's given you. What are you talking about, preacher? God's given you the privilege to hear the gospel and you take it for granted. You're abusing them. You can abuse them one time too many. You know what they did? The Amalekites made an invasion upon the city of Ziklag. That's where David's people were. That's where the people of God were when you look at it from the spiritual aspect. And we find today, the Amalekites today are making an invasion upon the truths of God. I'll give you an example of how far they go. 2 years ago when I was in Elmont, and I've been here now for 27 years. 20 years ago when I was in Elmont, I used to substitute teach in the high school. Kay over there was one of my students. And in that schoolroom, and in every schoolroom in Elmont High School, there was a Bible on the teacher's desk. The superintendent that I was here when I came here was a Catholic. And the first thing he did was look me up. And we became very good friends. And we found out when I substituted, he said, I wish I had a school full of teachers like that man. Even Bill Briggs said that. And that was a real compliment from him. Now, why do I say this? Today, you can't find a Bible in that school. You won't even find them in the library. What have they done? They've abused the privileges. And people today are abusing the privileges of the things of God. Now, what have they done? Years ago, we go in there and we could sit down and talk about evolution and talk about creation on an equal par. And we were talking about it at the lunchroom, and several of us are gathered together as teachers, and we expressed our opinions, and there was no argument whatsoever. Today, if you dare mention the Bible, they laugh at you. Now, what happened? These Amalekites that are in charge of our school system have abused the privileges of God, and they've made an invasion on the truths of God and are now subjecting the truths of God to their whim and their opinion. And it's the same thing at this hour. My friend today, I want to say to you kindly, some of you here down through the years, you say, well, I don't know if I agree with that, how he preaches, how God saves the sinner. You got to agree with it. It's the only way there is. God doesn't have a dozen different ways to get saved. The way of God for salvation is Holy Spirit conviction, repentance, and faith in Christ. No other way. To miss Holy Spirit conviction means to miss repentance. To miss repentance means to miss faith. And to miss faith means to miss Christ. And to miss Christ means to miss everything. Now, how were you saved? In water? No way. How else were you saved? Speaking in tongues? No way. If God never opened your heart and shown you who you are and what you are and the wonder, and if He's never put a fear in your soul that God would pass you by and you'd spend an eternity in hell, my friend, if God's never dealt with you personally, put it down. You're still an Amalekite in His sight. Now these Amalekites, they made an invasion upon the truths of God for this purpose. They want to subject the people of God. Were they successful? We find very clearly in verse 16, and when he had brought them down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And you know what's happening today? Somebody may get upset about it, but I'll tell you right now, I just praise the Lord that millage was voted down. Oh, you're not in the best for our schools. Money in buildings doesn't make a school. And we better start emphasizing that. And these suckers over here that don't have any sense, you heard what they said. They're going to turn right around and do it again. I hope that every time they do, you'll vote them down. And I hope somebody in this community will start a recall on every last one of them. Now I'll tell you what. They've wasted money up there, and they continue to waste it. You say you're so dogmatic about it? Sure, I was supervisor of maintenance up there for a year. Will you listen to me? I saved that group $30,000. And the budget that I operated, and the year that I was there, the school was cleaner than it's ever been. The teachers had the beer they ever had. Give several of them. Even my enemies came and told me so. And I saved them $30,000. And when my budget was not completely spent, I went to the superintendent. I said, look, I said, we've got this much money left in our budget. I said, we need a new tractor. Well, just because you didn't spend it doesn't mean you get it. I said, in other words, the only one under language you understand is to overspend, isn't it? Now, that's the kind of superintendents they got up there. Now, why do I tell you all this? Because people today, the Amalekites today, have made an invasion upon the truths of God. They are seeking and have successfully done this for the most part. They have subjected God's people, if possible. You say, what are you talking about? Our colleges and universities that were started and financed and endowed by God's people have been conquered by the Amalekites. And in its place, you know what they're doing? They're abusing the privileges that God's given them. They are subjecting the people of God to these untruths. And we find very clearly there seems to be no way out. And there isn't, unless God intervenes. Now, this is an Amalekite. The third thing about an Amalekite is this. It was absolutely impossible to change his condition. Now, you're a sinner here today. Some of you here I know personally. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You told me so. Therefore, in the eyes of God, you're an Amalekite. Now, I want to tell you very kindly and very clearly. You cannot do one thing to change your condition. Now, you can. You may come to church. You may supposedly get baptized. You may read your Bible. You might even sit in prayer. But unless the Lord God of heaven has come in and rescued you, you can't change your condition. These Amalekites didn't want to. They were happy because there was no desire to change whatever, and it was impossible apart from supernatural help. And a person cannot be changed from a sinner to a saint apart from supernatural help of God. Now the devil's come along and he said this, okay, if you keep the law and you do this, another one comes along and says, oh, if you get baptized, then God will wash away your sins. No, he won't. Not through water baptism. Others come along and they say, oh, fine, you've got to speak in tongues and you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then you're all right. You're not either. Still others come along and they say, all right, now if you'll join our little group and carry along and you'll put a hat on your head and not go anyplace else, then you're bound to be okay. No, you're not. The Lord Jesus sums it all up in these words. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What did you have to do with your physical birth? Absolutely. What do you have to do with your spiritual birth? Absolutely nothing. It's all of God, and it's all of grace. People come along and say, oh, but now, Pastor, wait a minute. I've got to believe. Of course you do. But who gives you the faith to believe? God does. Preacher, you said I got to repent. Of course you do. But who gives you the privilege and the ability to repent? God does. And these Amalekites, it was impossible to change their condition. Now, the fourth thing about them was this, and this is true of every Amalekite in the world at this hour. They were living under a reprieve and in ignorance. 1 Samuel chapter 30, look at verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. I wonder how many so-called Christians are down at the racetrack at this hour watching those engines go by. Want me to tell you? A great number of them are. But all they are is a religious Amalekite. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Sunday is the day of the Lord. It belongs to Him. And you and I have no right to take any of His privilege. You know why God gave us the day of the Lord? Two reasons. Number, worship and meditate on Him. And number two, to rest your body so you can go on the rest of the week. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can't work 7 days a week, day in and day out, without destroying your body. You're not built that way. And they have found it out very clearly, health-wise, psychologically-wise, spiritually-wise, that an individual who works 6 days a week, takes the day off on the Lord's day and rests up, spends some time with the Lord God of heaven, I'll tell you right now, that individual is a better worker and he's in better health and he's psychologically better than anybody else is. Oh, you look at me like I'm crazy. No, I'm not. This is practical preaching. And these Amalekites, I want you to notice, these Amalekites are living under a reprieve and an ignorance. Now, the danger of this church is this. You've heard this so often that it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. Some of you just turn me off like you turn off your television set. I wish you'd turn me on like you turn on your rock and roll. I mean it. I wish you would. Because I'll tell you right now, I've got a lot better message for you than that rock and roll does. When I saw those kids down there, 80,000 of them, I said to myself, my, how the devil's got those kids captured. But they're Amalekites. And these Amalekites are no different in the days of David than they are at this hour. Now, these Amalekites were living under a reprieve, doing two things. And this is popular today. They were feasting and drinking. You want to know something? The average teenager today is coming to this position. They feel like they can't have a good party unless there's either alcohol and dope and rock and roll involved. They don't know how to have a good time. Thursday night or Wednesday night after services, we went down to pizza place. And those Arkansans took that place over. I mean, 50-some of them, and the man made pretty good money on them. But you should have seen those kids. No drinking, no dope, no smoking, no cussing. But I'll tell you right now, they had a good time, didn't we, Kevin? Had a good time. People today don't know how to have a good time. They're like the Amalekites. You know what they're doing? Feasting and drinking and dancing. tied up in the pleasures and the things of this world like every Amalekite is, and at the same time living under a reprieve and an ignorance. Oh, every time I come to this pulpit, I come with a fear in my heart. I'll tell you why. Some of you here have heard me and heard me and heard me and heard me again, and you've never heard. And you're living under a reprieve. In 5 minutes after you walk out of here, the impressions of the services are gone. Your mind and heart and affections are things on this world, and you go out into the world, and you're in ignorance. Because you don't realize, if you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. And hell is real. And hell is hot. And hell is personal. And hell is literal. And hell is eternal. And I don't want to go there. Reading, I get excited. I'm afraid for you. You're like the Amalekites, feasting and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they took. And then when you look at what happened, look at verse 16 again. Look at what it says. Listen to it. Or verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which on camels, and fled. Now, will you get this? They were cut off in the midst of their revelry. Now, you turn to Luke 21 for just a moment and look at it. In Luke chapter 21, and look with me at verse 34, and listen to what our Lord said. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time you're overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this world, or in the cares of this life, I should say, and so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You know what's next in line? Let me tell you. God's going to come after me. Staying in line. I won't be back, the Lord willing, until July the 6th or 5th. In other words, this may be the last time you'll ever see me. May be the last time you'll ever hear me. Or you say, preacher, I'm going to come tonight. How do you know we're going to be here? We don't. And our Lord says, listen, it's coming like a snare. And in the midst of the world's feasting and drinking and reveling and dancing and the cares of this life, like the whole world's getting involved in, my Lord's coming after His church. And it'll be a snare. One moment we'll be here, the next moment we'll be gone. And when we're gone and you're left behind, you can weep and wail and cry and beg all you want. You've sinned away. You're dead grace. You have nothing to face but judgment. Oh, preacher, aren't you kind of getting excited? Aren't you kind of trying to scare people into heaven? No! Let's face reality. It's been almost 2,000 years since the Lord went back to heaven. And every 2,000 years, God has intervened personally in human history. And He isn't done. He's carrying out His plan. And the next plan will be the catching away. As a snare, it's going to come on all the earth. And these Amalekites were cut off in the midst of their revelry. Who would have thought last night that this young fellow on that motorcycle, he sneaked in on that track. And so what is he doing? He's going on the wrong way. And he starts speeding the thing up. And he couldn't make the turn and hit an abutment. And out into eternity he went. And his motorcycle landed on top of an 11-year-old girl. He never intended to do that. He was cut off in the midst of having a good time. And these Amalekites are cut off in the midst of having a good time. And is God going to do that to you? You're going to go to some place where they're sucking on a marijuana cigarette? And you're going to go to some place where they sneak in and sniff a little coke? And you say, oh, I'm having a good time. And God may say, okay, sister, out in eternity you go. Well, yes, preacher, you mean you got people here in this church that do that? Sure I do. I could name you by my name if I had to. You know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. And you can ignore me all you want to. But when you face that reality, you'll remember this preacher's voice all through eternity. Because I've warned you. And some of the rest of you right here, you're an Amalekite too. Oh, I don't smoke cigarettes or marijuana. I don't sniff coke. No, you're so busy in your business. That's your God. Oh, tomorrow morning, you go down there right on time. You'll be here right on time. Probably you'll be early. Wouldn't be a bit surprised. A lot of you take your work home at night. You know why? Well, I've got to make a good impression. Well, you better start thinking about making a good impression with God. Because you're going to meet Him. Well, you say, preacher, I can't. No, but I'm going to tell you this. If you don't start seeking the Lord, you have no one to blame but yourself. Because you're sitting under a church where the gospel is preached. And I've warned you before that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Will you listen to me? Well, it's first place in your life is your God. And if it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the wrong thing. Now, let me quickly give you one more thing, if I may. We find also in this portion of the Word of God, the coming events on this earth. Three things stand out. The coming events upon this earth are set forth in this chapter by the present day activity going on. What is it? Chapter 30, verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat and they made him drink water. And verses 11 through 15, you have the Egyptian being found by David, being rescued by David, being spared by David, and being employed by David to carry on David's work. And you want to know something? That's a spiritual picture of what's going on at this present hour. You say, what are you talking about? God's elect are still being found and saved. That's a present day event going on at this hour. God's elect are still being found. You know why God brought you here this morning? Well, I didn't come to expect to hear. I didn't expect to hear what I was going to hear. I know you didn't. I didn't think you'd chew me out like you do. No, I know you didn't. But God knew what you needed. You know why the Lord brought you here this morning? Because as far as I know, you still might be one of God's elect that have to get saved. I don't know that you're not. And I wouldn't dare say you are and you're not. But I want to say this. God's brought you here because grace is still being bestowed upon you. It could have been you instead of that motorcyclist. It could have been you that got shot this week when that policeman went berserk. It could have been you, but it wasn't. God spared you to hear the gospel one more time. And the present day events of this earth are still going on. And you know what it is? The elect of God are still being found, portrayed here by the Egyptians. And aren't you notice how God did it? They found the Egyptian in the field. That's the grace of God going after the sinner. Got a letter this past week from a young lady. Listened to us on the broadcast. She said, Brother Nortier, pray for me. She said, the Lord's opened my heart and shown me I'm a lost sinner. I like to hear that. I do. She said, please pray that the Lord will break this old wicked sinner's spirit. Well, he's breaking it, or she wouldn't have said those things. See, some of you, you're not saved. Your spirit hasn't been broken yet. And God says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. And God's going to have to break you. But the present day event is going on. God's elect are still being found by the Lord, and grace is still being bestowed. And I praise the Lord it is. Now, the second thing is this. There's not only present day activity, but there's also the present day situation being revealed. Now, what's the present day situation? Well, individuals are enjoying the care of this life. Verse 16, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And people today are enjoying the cares of this life. Don't tell me you're not enjoying it. Oh, I've had somebody say to me, oh, I wish we could go back to the old days. I don't. Well, preacher, if we went back to the old days, they were better. No, they weren't. I watched my mother scrub my old dirty clothes on a washboard. I wouldn't want to go back to that. I remember so clearly the first day we had an electric refrigerator, 1937. Up until that time, we had an old icebox. And we used to have the ice come in every day. And my mother would get on and she'd say, keep that icebox closed. The ice is melting, and the iceman does but every 2 days. You remember that? Sure, some of us do, don't we? I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to where I had to walk. First automobile I ever owned was 1938 Chevrolet. I don't want to go back to those old days. You don't either. But the present situation is this. You want to know something? You're enjoying, as sinners, you're enjoying the cares and the blessings of this life. Oh, you young people today, when I say young, 50 and under, you just don't know what it is to ever have a hardship. You don't know what it is to ever have to wear hand-me-down clothes. You don't know what it is to have to walk to school and walk home and walk to work. You don't know what it is not to have plenty of spending money. Now, how come you've gotten all this? Want me to tell you? Because of God's people. These are the blessings that God gives to a nation because of its people that belong to the Lord. And that's going on at this present hour. And we find also that the interest in the things of God are being subjected. What a shame and a disgrace. Christian Reformed denomination got a bunch of professors there in Calvin College that are teaching that man has fallen from an ape. Let me tell you something. The godly people in that denomination are askance. They don't know how to get rid of them. There seems to be no leader. And when these Amalekites had captured David's family and the families of David's men, there was no leader among them. And they were subjected to the Amalekites. And the Christian world today is being subjected to the whims and the captivity of the Amalekites. And there seems to be no leader. That's what's going on. And then there's the third thing. There's also a prophecy of the things to come. Again, verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, 400 young rode upon camels and fled. Now what do you have here? Well, we have here the prophecy of things to come. Number one, portrayed by David's action. You know why God hasn't judged this world yet? Let me tell you. The last elect sinner for whom Christ died hasn't been saved yet. Now, who's that going to be? It might be you. Wouldn't it be something? Now, you think of it. Wouldn't it be something that somebody here in this congregation was the last sinner for whom Christ died? And at the close of the service, the individual would stand up and say, "Pastor, praise the Lord, He saved me," and the rapture would come. Oh, you say, "No, I don't want that to happen." Well, that's the way it's going to take place. Will you listen? Our greater David is on his way. David was on his way to get those Amalekites. He was on his way to rescue his possession. And my Lord's on his way to rescue his possession. Now you say, "Wait a minute, I'll save that for another sermon." But I want to tell you this. He hadn't come yet. You know why? He's still finding God's elect out there in the field. Are you one of them? Now if you don't know Christ, you better start getting worried. And if God isn't dealing with your heart, then you better start asking Him to. Because what a tragedy it would be for you to sit under this kind of preaching and then still go to hell. I have people write me all the time. Some of them call me. They say, "Pastor, you mean to tell me you got unsaved people in your church?" I said, "I've got people in my church that have heard me for 20 years and still aren't saved." And they look at me, and they say, "How in the world is that possible? I've only heard you in person 3 times. And the dear soul says, "I'm scared to death." I said, "The whole difference is this, they're not listening, you are." And I said, "The whole difference is this, God's dealing with you, not with them. That's the difference." And I want to say to you very kindly, you get that. Not everybody that comes to this church is going. Only those that know Christ are. And the prophecy of these events is this. My Lord's coming back. David was on his way. David at the present time was stopped. And you know what he did? He didn't go after the Amalekites. He stopped, first of all, got that last soul. And that's what my Lord's doing right now. He's reaching down, coming down to the field. In the field of this world, and he's reaching down by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's reaching down and finding these Egyptians out there in the world that need Christ. But now listen. What happened? We find very clearly. David smote them. Will you let me close with this? 17, verse 30 and 31. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He's going to judge this world in righteousness by that man, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead." That man is the Lord Jesus Christ, our greater David. Now, do you know? If you don't, I urge you, you better start facing facts. And the fact is this, you're not saved. You're an Amalekite before God. Fact two is you can't change your condition. Fact three, if God doesn't have mercy on you, you'll never get saved. But fact four is this, if you'll sue for mercy, He'll listen to you. And five, that our Lord still reaches down and redeems Amalekite and Egyptian type sinners. Now, why do I tell you this? Because David's rescue of the Egyptian is God's method of grace. Now, I want you to notice it now. This Egyptian was found. He was fed. He was made to face his reality. He was granted forgiveness. And he followed his master. And if you're saved here today, God found you. He's feeding you. He's made you face your reality. He's forgiven you. And the result is this. You can't help but follow Him. You don't want to do anything else. Now, the reason there's still mercy on this earth is God is still finding sinners. Has He found you? How about it? Has the Lord found you? Oh, if He hasn't, my hope and my prayer is that something has been said that will stir your heart to seek reconciliation with the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for Christ to save you. And you're here by God's appointment. You're here by God's grace. You're here by God's direction and providence. He's given you the ability to listen. You heard what He wanted you to hear. Now, my friend, the responsibility is in your hands. What will you do with the Lord Jesus? Will you surrender to Him? If you don't, you'll perish forever. Oh, God help you today to surrender to the Lord Jesus. You beg Him, come in your heart, save you. First of all, show you your need of Him. Don't go any further until He does. When He shows you your need of Him, I'll tell you what will happen to you. You're going to cry. You're going to cry in your heart. You're going to be scared. Yes, you are. And I'll tell you something else. The third thing will be this. You won't stop seeking the Lord Jesus Christ until He gives you an answer. You can. And you want the answer from Him through His Word. And it'll come to you by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Oh, may the Lord save you, is my prayer. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning, thank You. Thank You for allowing us to look, as it were, into the portion of Thy Word and see things there that are so plain and so up to date. And how we praise Thee that Thy book is infallible, it's inerrant, and it's indestructible as well as inspired. We just praise Thee, Lord, for showing us again how merciful Thou art, and yet also showing us that Thou wilt by no means clear the guilty. Lord, we're all guilty. We all ought to be in hell. We just want to thank You again, those of us that know You, for the privilege of knowing Thee. Now forgive us for allowing things in. And then, our Lord, give us a burden. Burden for those round about us. And give us the grace and the stamina to share these things with others. And then, our God, work in the hearts of these sinners that are here. Lord, our precious teenagers. We watched them grow up from babyhood to teenage. We know, Lord, that without Thee, their life will be ruined. And we see some of them turning their back against Thee, hardening their neck. And we just pray, break them. Oh, break that proud spirit they have. And do the same with our adults. Because, Lord, some of these adults are not concerned about their children. Break their spirit. Show them. Oh, show them. Lord God, have mercy. And then keep Thy hand upon us. And forgive us again where we fail Thee. We ask You, Lord, for Thy glory. Amen. Anybody been saved today? How about it? I look for that. Now, if you're not, you seek the Lord until you find Him. And you come and tell me.